Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi, and welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast. I'm Genuinely Grace. I've had the most amazing week away in Yorkshire. I'll be revealing more about it. It was a business retreat, a spiritual business retreat. So it was absolutely magical and amazing. I'll tell you all about it at some point. I've got to do a bit of processing first. So I've had a really good week. I hope you have too. And I hope some of you are going to be joining us for our Bossing a Sober Christmas online event, which is Saturday, 3rd of December. So if you're listening to this podcast before Saturday, 3rd of December, it's at 5 p.m. UK time. Go to thesoberclub.com and you'll see the information there if you're still in time to be able to register and join us. Of course, we will be mentioning stuff around how you prep for Christmas time, whether you've been sober for ages or whether you're brand new to it all. And having the right drinks in place is really, really important. And I know I've said before that I've had clients who will say, I don't like alcohol-free drinks. I'm really good with my orange juice or my tea. And that's absolutely fine. But when it's a social situation, when everyone is celebrating, it's so easy to find that little inner toddler that pops up and says, oh, this is a bit weird. Everyone's chinking glasses and doing that grown-up celebration thing with a glass of something grown up in their hand. And I've got my tea. And it just doesn't feel quite right. And we really have to look after that part of our unconscious mind. We do not want to feel deprived, because that's when the wine witch flies in and says, well, this is absolutely crap. Why don't you just have one? So get prepped in advance. Find an alcohol-free drink that you like. And if you're someone who feels that the alcohol-free replacements, in inverted commas, trigger you, if you don't want to choose wine or beer or, you know, alcohol-free Prosecco-type drinks, then you don't have to. There are so many other incredible drinks that do not contain alcohol. Don't forget kombucha, which is really good for you. Don't forget artisan tonics. Be a bit careful with tonics, by the way. You don't want the ones that have artificial sweeteners in them. But there are loads of incredible artisan tonics that have lovely botanical flavours added. And then, of course, there's the botanical drinks, which sometimes mimic spirits, not always, but they don't have alcohol. That's the key, right? You won't get addicted to them because they're not addictive. So do check that out. And of course, the club soda bar and shop and tasting shop, alcohol-free bar and tasting shop, that's the expression, is going to be open very soon. I'm so excited. And I just think the work that Club Soda and Laura Willoughby, who heads it all up, the work they do is just fantastic. So no doubt I'll have some kind of meetup there and we can have a chat about our favourite alcohol-free drinks. So that was a very long-winded way of saying, hope you can join us, some of you, if it's still time before our event Saturday, 3rd of December, online, 5 p.m. We'll be talking about bossing a sober Christmas. We're not just talking about prepping and drinks. We're talking about family dynamics as well, how we navigate those difficult relationships within families, how we center ourselves. I'm going to share some techniques for how we can come back to balance at a time when we can feel so shaky, really so off balance throughout the whole festivities. I was talking to a client recently who was saying that at Christmas time, it's almost like their parents just press every button going, and they end up reverting back to a kind of petulant childhood version of themselves, and they know they're behaving badly. And we have to just step into that space as responsible adults and plan, how do we want this Christmas time to be? And if we're going to be on our own, maybe we're not seeing family at all. Even more reason to know that we feel centered and feel balanced. So hopefully that will help you a bit. And that brings me beautifully to my guest this week, because we are going to be talking about alcohol-free drinks and the importance of alcohol-free drinks in her journey. I'm chatting to Emma Newman from Sobersonic. Emma Newman, otherwise known as Sober Sonic. It's lovely to chat to you. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, Janie. Thank you for having me.
Good. Yes, I think we've probably met at various different events over the years. But interested to read that you quit drinking 7 years ago. Wow. And when I think back, I mean, I'm almost 5 years, but 7 years, I mean, I guess there wasn't as much going on in the space.
No, there wasn't. And I do feel like a mum saying, "Oh, you new mums with, you know, your Pampers nappies, you don't know you're born," you know, it's that kind of thing, isn't it? But where I felt very much on my own. There weren't the podcasts, there wasn't the sort of communities on Instagram, there wasn't very much in mainstream media, and there certainly wasn't the amount of alcohol-free drinks that there are these days. So it's just kind of leaping off a cliff into the abyss and, you know, seeing what was going to happen, really.
Yeah. Tell us a bit about your story then. What was it like for you back then? What was going on?
So I decided to stop drinking in 2015, but actually I've been thinking about it on and off for the previous year. And I think really that the sober curiosity kind of gets ignited way before you actually commit to stopping or even dip in the water. And my sober curiosity had been aroused basically 15 years ago when a guest at my wedding day, so I remember it clearly, had said that they weren't drinking. And I was kind of like, really, why aren't you drinking? You know, you live in France. We always used to drink loads at university together. Why aren't you drinking? I just couldn't get my head around that. And they said, "Oh, well, I just think that at some point everyone needs to have a moment where you reassess your relationship with alcohol. And, you know, you think about a decision that you made when you were 18. And I kind of came away from that snippet of conversation feeling really bamboozled. Like, you know, firstly, how come they'd got to 18 without drinking? I sort of jumped on that bandwagon when I was about 14. And they sounded so grown up. They sounded so making the sort of reassessment about a life choice. And also they lived in France. So I sort of had this, you know, this sort of visual image that if you lived in France, literally red wine was coming out the tap. So how did they live in France and not drink wine? It just seemed a complete anathema. So, you know, I really took on board what they said, but I just kind of shelved it immediately as just an absolutely ridiculous concept. And, you know, in those sort of 7 years after I got married, a lot of big life stuff happened. You know, it was marriage, death, birth of babies. I mean, my husband had been in the forces, so we'd sort of moved around a lot. I as a result of that, quit my job.
So you're an army wife effectively then? And
I was, yeah. And with every upheaval and
move, probably quite, sorry, just on that for a second, I'm guessing there's probably quite a lot of drinking in that community.
It is a, you know, massive way of life, and it's you know, the bars are really heavily subsidized, so at the time it was like happy days, this is great. But retrospectively not so helpful. And because we'd moved around a lot, with every move, I sort of became less inclined to make new friendships, and my social circle dwindled because I was like, well, we're going to be moving on in a bit. What's the point? So I increasingly became pretty isolated. I had two babies, two under two, you know, so all the sleep deprivation that comes from that. And, you know, in those sort of 7 years, I'd gone from being sort of a single gal about town working in media to being, you know, a forces wife, a mum of babies, and, you know, living in barracks. So it was a real seismic shift. And I have so much compassion for, you know, for that new mum who was just basically sort of muddling her way through and doing the best that she could. It's sort of, it was interesting, Janie, because at that time, comparatively, I was drinking less than when I had been that gal about town working in media. I was drinking a lot less volume-wise, but the impact that it was having on me and how I felt about myself, my situation, life, you know, was a seismic change. And, you know, I was just there thinking, oh, life isn't great, life is hard, life is tough. And by the time I'd got to sort of like 2014, I'd sort of pinpointed that alcohol was like the root cause of everything that I was unhappy with. You know, unhappy with my weight. I was unhappy with my mental health. I felt stuck. didn't feel like I was kind of showing up as the best person. I felt like I was letting myself down a lot of the time. And I kind of pinpointed that everything, you know, like that kind of all roads lead to Rome. All of the things that were wrong were taking me back to alcohol. And I really identified that it was alcohol that was, you know, causing for me a lot of the blocks in the pathway. But making that decision to stop, that took, you know, it sounds simple, but actually committing to a lot more time. And I'd done a lot of research on Amazon, reading about reviews on books. And I, you know, I landed on a book, Jason Bell, How to Quit Drinking Easily.
Quit the drink easily, yeah.
Yeah. There were, you know, it wasn't a huge amount of choice back then. And I sort of landed on that book and thought, right, that'll be the one. So clicked buy, and I was probably, you know, pretty squiffy when I did. It arrived. It wouldn't have even arrived the next day because we didn't have Prime back then. This is how dark ages it was, right? So it arrived a few days later, and I had cold feet, so I shelved it. And I just, you know, I'd look at that book winking at me from the shelf across the sofa where I was drinking my wine. You know, my husband and I would get through about 10 bottles of wine a week, like no problem. Mm. And it's just like, oh, I can't read it yet. And I just kept putting it off until I had this kind of very clear wake up call that actually there was never going to be a good time. Life is always pro challenges, and the good time is now. You know, not after the party, not after the wedding, not when you've been on holiday. It's now. And to just kind of in. But again, procrastination was kind of, you know, blocking the way. And it was only when I had a really, really crippling hangover where I was just like, I can't keep putting myself through this, that I decided to pick up the book. And I think that in that year of not reading it, I'd given that book so much power that it was kind of like I'd convinced myself that the moment I started reading this book, I was going to stop drinking. It was going to be that simple. And of course, you know, we all know it isn't, but I'm happy to say for me, that was the reality of it. I read that book and I carried on drinking, as Jason suggests, whilst I was kind of, you know, reading through the chapters. And by the time I finished the final chapter, which I was pretty slow, I was like, oh no, I don't want to finish this book because then I'm really going to have to take action. You know, when I put the book down, that's when I stopped drinking. And that was on the 9th of November, 2015. So I have been sober for 7 years and 8 days. But
amazing.
We didn't have counters. It's literally on my fingers.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah. It's interesting that book, because that was a book that I read as well many years ago. Let me see. Gosh, must be, oh, goodness, a lot longer ago than that. So I would take a guess at probably 15 years ago, I read Jason's book. I went on a juice retreat. On one of Jason's juice retreats, and I never had any problem not drinking while I was there. Obviously, I mean, just didn't even think about it, you know. And then brought a copy of the book home or read it while I was there. I forget which. And because that book is straight down the line logic and NLP, effectively, you know, I was thoroughly NLP'd, right? And stopped drinking. And and I didn't drink for probably, 6 months. But back then, of course, I mean, now when I look back, I think, right, that's interesting. So I stopped for 6 months after reading that book. If you'd have asked me, I think at any point during those 6 months, are you happy that you're not drinking? I've said, yeah, of course. Alcohol is really bad for you, and et cetera, you know, would have quoted Jason or whatever. But what happened after about 6 months, if I remember rightly, is that I was at some event or party or awards thing. And I think I was speaking, or I was, you know, somebody sort of on stage or whatever. And somebody handed me some champagne, you know, for the picture, for the that we were doing or the filming. And, I vaguely remember my sort of thought process, which was, well, obviously I don't have any kind of a problem. So it's perfectly fine. Everyone's celebrating, so I'll celebrate too. And then it literally all started again. And you know, within a matter of time, was back down the slippery slope. So and so that for me, it's really interesting. So it's brilliant that it worked for you. I mean, we'll come on in a minute to what else you then did later. But for me, I think what happened was I'd absolutely nailed that logic piece, that NLP piece. I'd really got that. But I hadn't done the work around why life is better without alcohol. I'd only done the piece about it's bad for me, if you see what I mean, around alcohol being really bad for me. I hadn't done enough around how much better life would be without any ever, if you see what I mean. I hadn't done that part of the work. Yeah. And then obviously the last time around, you know, when I stopped for good, just over 5 years ago, I had to work really hard on that piece. On the, you know, actually noticing that I wasn't drinking and noticing all the changes, and then starting to think, okay, so what is life going to be like? I had to go through that awkward phase of not really knowing quite who I was. So tell me for you then. I mean, we've already established you know, sorry, carry on.
So I was going to say, it's such a huge shift in identity, isn't it? Because so much of your identity is caught up with, you know, parties, drinking, what will you drink with different occasions, you know, what wine will you have with certain food? It's massive.
Yeah. So for you then, you know, as we've already said, there wasn't much support around that time, or a sober scene, or very many, many alcohol-free drinks. So, you know, at what point did you sort of, you know, get involved in well, your own sort of self-care, really, and starting to kind of bring in other things?
Golly, I think for like the first year, I literally survived on bubble baths, and you know, that was it. And going to bed really, really early, and you know, maybe having sort of cups of matcha, and you know, sort of exploring with things. But it was very, very lean times. And you know, on the one hand, you can look back and think, oh, there wasn't very much, but you know, you learn to adapt with what you've got, and you make the most of it. And you know, when there isn't a huge amount of noise going on, any little crumb that you can find, you can, you know, really feast on, and it sort of takes on a huge amount of importance. And you know, you learn a lot about yourself as well when all the noise isn't there, and you have to go into it. A lot of people sort of say to me, gosh, you know, stopping before Christmas, that was a bit of a baptism of fire, wasn't it? And the answer is yes. And I hadn't told anyone particularly. So on Christmas Day, when I opened up all these alcohol-related gifts, it was really confronting. Mm-hmm. But it was also really powerful as well, because it was like, oh my gosh, this is what everyone else thinks of me as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember getting alcohol given to me for Mother's Day, because I hadn't actually told my grown-up sons. So they proudly bought me my favourite wine. I just had to go and have a little cry. Yeah, sorry, carry on.
Yeah. Oh, I was sobbing on Christmas Day for sure. And, you know, I was like, I'm just going to keep going. And I hadn't really intended to get to Christmas. I thought if I could do a bit of a reset up until the beginning of December, that would be, you know, more than I'd done apart from pregnancies and, you know, happy days, bit of a sort of a detox kind of vibe. But I kind of got curious, you know, gosh, I've done a week. Gosh, I've done 10 days. Now I've done 2 weeks. I've never gone this long before. I wonder how long I can go. And, you know, I joke and say, oh, I wish I'd like done some kind of sober challenge and got people to sponsor me, because, you know, I'd still be coining it in now. But, you know, sadly, I didn't, because I didn't have the conviction. I didn't have the confidence. I didn't sort of have the self-esteem that, you know, this, I was going to commit to it, and I was going to show up, and I was going to do it. But I remember looking, you know, in the mirror on New Year's Day, that first New Year's Day of 2016, and normally we'd all be a bit blurry eyed, right? And I looked in the mirror and thought, wow, I can see a pair of sparkling eyes, like kind of glistening back at me. I was like, happy days. And I'd been out the night before, I'd kind of come out to people, house party with my 4 litres of sparkling water. I'm not drinking, and I'll drive everyone at home. I think we lasted till 2:30. And, you know, I was like, wow. So I was feeling tired. I hadn't had a huge amount of sleep because we've been up partying, but I hadn't been drinking. And I just thought, wow, I'm, you know, I've got this in my hands. I can turn my life around here. This is a huge change for what I'm normally like on a New Year's Day. This is amazing. And, you know, I think when you quit drinking and you start to feel your way into sobriety, suddenly things start to become possible, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? When you start to just catch sight of that excitement that might, something that might be there for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And it, you know, even in nature, like I love going out for walks in nature. It's so important. It's been, you know, been a massive tool. That sort of came on after the bubble baths. Just suddenly seeing, you know, like a leaf fall from a tree, or you're sat on a bench and there's a molehill near you, and suddenly the earth starts to move. You don't even see the mole, but just the earth moving. It's like, wow, that wouldn't have done it for me when I was drinking. I'd just be like, oh, this is boring, can we go to the pub? And so, yeah, you get so much joy from the small things in life.
I do. I think that's really true. I really do. It's lovely to pick up on that, you know, because I think that, you know, I've probably said on a podcast before, but, you know, I used to think people who didn't drink were so boring. And, you know, I'd meet a friend in a you know, like a kind of a deli or something. And she'd get all excited about having a really lovely cup of green tea and a really special little with a little special ceramic pot and a little, you know, and I just used to think, oh, for God's sake, just give me the wine, you know. God, and I think back now, what kind of miserable cow was I, really? I mean, really, just she was the lucky one having the, you know, the enjoyment of that moment, whereas all I could think about was how I could effectively get out of my head quicker. And it's so true, when we stop drinking, we can actually appreciate little things, which gratitude is everything, right? Once we can bring in gratitude, it changes everything.
Yeah, amazing. I mean, gratitude is such a huge, huge sober tool. You know, like I did 10 items of daily gratitude for 6 months.
Yeah.
And it was phenomenal. You know, life is hard at times, right? But there is still so much to be grateful for. And there are still, even on the hardest days, there's still so much wonder and happiness that you can find from the simple things. And, you know, just going back to you being with your friend in the cafe and thinking, oh, you know, I just want to go and have a drink. I had this moment when I was staying in a hotel with my two children, and there'd been a bit of a mix up in the booking. So I was sharing a bed with my daughter. She was probably about 10 at the time. And the next morning, we'd been a family party the previous day. And the next morning I woke up and I just looked at her all asleep in her bed next to me. And I thought, oh, it's so wonderful that I'm not breathing loads of alcohol.
Oh, God, I know.
And if I'd met someone at the party the night before and had said to them, oh, would you like a drink? And they'd said to me, oh, no, there's been a mix-up with the hotel and I'm sharing a bed with my daughter and I don't want to breathe alcohol all over her. I'd have thought, who do you think you are, lady? You know, I'd have been so down on them. Because I think when you've got alcohol in your life, your whole mindset
It is.
Yeah,
it's awesome. I think it makes us very selfish. It really does. Yeah. You know, we don't realize at the time, but it makes us very selfish. Yeah, it's fascinating. And you know, you talk about, you know, life thrown as curveballs. I mean, everything has not always been easy for you. And I know your husband suffers from PTSD, and I think one of your children is in a wheelchair. Is that right? So you've got stuff going on that you have to deal with all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, when you quit drinking and you start walking the sober path, it gives you so many tools that you can then support other people with. That, you know, they're like tools for life, really, aren't they? They're such good life skills. And, you know, my son's been using a wheelchair now for the last 18 months. On a very, very slow road to recovery, which we're not quite sure what that will look like, but every day is still a joy, and there's still hope. And, you know, it's not like, oh God, life is hard, but I'm not sitting here pitying myself.
Exactly.
You know, it's just like, come on, we can do this, we can get forward, we can move forward. And you know, just having acceptance. Like, I think when you're drinking, you never really have full acceptance of the situation, and you're in denial about so much, and you don't really want to see the reality of what's going on. But when you quit drinking, you face up to what's going on, and even if you haven't got a plan, you can put one foot in front of the other and get through the day.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, as you say, it gives you that resilience to be able to be you know, support other people and to be fully present in that, you know. But also, hopefully, you know how to also take care of yourself. I'm guessing you've got a bit more balance in that now than you would have had probably if you'd been dealt this situation and you were drinking.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I'm just going to pick up on the word balance. I used to bandy balance around loads. And then in the last, I don't know, 18 months or so, for me, balance has become a little bit of a turnoff because it almost implies that you're sort of teetering in between, you know, being good and then being naughty, you know, and you're kind of like having a few slip ups. And it's more about having a partnership, I feel, with yourself and with, you know, others, you know, either other things or other people within your life. And it's about accessing those things when you need them.
Yeah.
And delving in. And I think, again, the longer that you're sober, the more tools you have in your toolkit, and you know what you need. So sometimes you need to deploy all the tools that you have. And, you know, you jam them all out and you try each one until you get the right one. Sometimes it's lots, sometimes it's just the one. But I think that, you know, when you're not drinking, you've got so many more tools at your disposal than just sitting on the sofa drinking wine or going out and to sort of numb it all away. And, you know, one big learn for me over the last sort of 18 months, 2 years, is that when things are going hard, I want to retreat. But actually, that's the point where you need to kind of crack yourself wide open and be vulnerable and call in your tribe.
Yeah, and get connected. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's very true. We've had people in the sober club and you know, they'll kind of we'll contact them or they'll reappear. And then they'll admit, you know, well, something happened and I literally just kind of switched off from everything and went into that sort of pitying mode and was drinking again. And it goes on and on and on. And it never helps anything. It never helps anything. And once you can be brave enough to reach out again with whatever is going on, whatever help you need, it really is a sign of bravery to ask for help, not a sign of weakness.
Absolutely. Yeah. And people really want to help as well. I mean, that's the amazing thing about the sober community. There's so support, there's so much honesty, so much acceptance of people just being like, okay, yeah, that sounds tough. You know, how can we help? Yeah. There's a huge amount of compassion.
Yeah.
All the things missing when you're drinking, you're never compassionate.
No.
You never yourself self-love or speak to yourself in a kind voice. You know, I was always really, really down on myself.
Yeah.
So, you know, having that has taken time for me to evolve and move through that and to be like, it's okay for things to be hard and it's okay to be difficult. That doesn't mean that you can't handle them. It just means that you need a little bit of support. And I now know, you know, what I need for support. It might be I need some more rest, a nap. It might be that I just need to sit quietly or start a new book or numb out on some you know, some series or something on TV. It's never about I'll just reach for a bottle.
No, exactly. And obviously, when it comes to, as we mentioned, when you first stopped, there was really not much available in the world of alcohol-free drinks, hardly anything. And of course, that's all changed, and now it's an incredible market. And that's something that you really really got into, the alcohol-free drinks scene. So just tell us a little bit about that and some of the stuff that you do now then.
Yeah, sure. So the first time I've even really heard of alcohol-free drinks was when I read Claire Pooley's book, The Sober Diary. She mentioned Sea Diet.
Yeah, that's right. I love the fact that she, I mean, that was one of the things that actually made me think, oh my God, it might be possible for me to do this.
Yeah. I mean, I think at the time when I read it, I was still like, oh gosh, would it be triggery? I'm not sure. And I was, you know, really reluctant to kind of get on board. But again, it's like, you know, having an idea being popped in your head and mulling it over and thinking about it. And then when the time is ready, approaching it. So, you know, I'd kind of dabbled in alcohol-free drinks a little bit. And then I went to the 2020 Mindful Drinking Festival.
That was brilliant, wasn't it?
Oh, it was amazing. I mean, I used to work in the food and wine industry in exhibitions. So it was like happy days. This is amazing. It's all alcohol-free. You can try everything. And it was wonderful. And then of course lockdown happened, and the impact was suddenly my sort of Facebook feed was becoming filled with people building bars and their kind of day drinking and stuff. And, you know, we were all suffering a lot of like uncertainty, and it was a tricky time for everybody at that point, right? And rather than kind of, you know, in a kind of, well, you can't beat them, join them, I just dived straight alcohol-free drinks, and you know, and just was like, okay, so these are the ones I tried, let's buy some of those, let's, you know, let's start doing different bits and pieces. And you know, it was incredible. Like, you know, there was a few things at that point, it's like, these aren't triggering me, these aren't making me want to have the alcoholic version.
Yeah, I must admit, alcohol-free drinks have never ever made me even vaguely want alcohol. Never. I've just always seen them as a different tasting drink, you know. Which I think, you know, is great. So anyway, yeah, sorry, carry on.
So it was like, that was an amazing revelation. These aren't going to make me want to drink alcohol.
Yeah.
I'm not going to want to hit the bottle. And oh, happy days, because literally I've been living on, you know, sparkling water with a bit of lime for the last few years. So this is just amazing, you know, to have all these different tastes, be able to mix things. And, you know, kind of, there'd been a slight shift, I think, as well, because previously, if I'd ever sort of put anything on Instagram that was an alcohol-free drink, I'd get a lot of DMs, a lot of kind of trolling from people.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, yeah. And so it made me really kind of reluctant to sort of share. But during lockdown, I thought, no, it's really important, because it's not just sort of for sober people to see these. It's for people who may be feeling like they're drinking too much as well. And they, you know, want to have some other options. So yeah. Like, push through. And it was just fantastic. I was so excited. I was like, oh my goodness, I can have as many of these as I want, but also I can moderate these in a way that I never could with alcohol. You know, if I'd had a couple of bottles of spirits, I would have drunk those, you know, they'd be gone.
Yeah.
Oh wow, I can really like moderate these, I can play with these, I can have them as and when I like. And it was just all the fun, all the enjoyment, and none of, you know, none of the sort of the nasty after effects.
Yeah. Brilliant. So tell us about the your kind of collaboration with Wise Bartender.
Yeah. So obviously, you know, with all the lockdowns and restrictions, things like the Mindful Drinking Festival weren't taking place, and there were limited opportunities for people to go and sort of try things for themselves. Yeah. And I think, you know, when you're sober, there's a slight kind of reluctance about buying something that you haven't tried. You don't really know what it's going to taste like.
Yeah.
Or, you know, with a bottle of beer or something, or a cider, it's, you know, it's a low investment. If you don't like it, c'est la vie. But with a bottle of spirit, some of them, you know, quite rightly, have got a higher price ticket on them. So I gave Wise Bartender a call, and I was like, you know, what would be really great is if you did a little box every month with some samples and with some, you know, some really good mixers. Because at that point, previously I thought tonic was just tonic. And then
and you realise it certainly isn't.
Not something, you know, wipes out the taste of the ethanol. This, you know, this is something that, depending on what you're drinking, the different tonic that you're using, the different mixer, completely changes the dynamic of the drink. Yeah. So it'd be really good to sort of show people what to put it with, because again, I felt, for me, when I sort of dipped my toe into alcohol free, I didn't know what I liked. Would I like this? I wasn't quite sure what to put with what. What was it trying to replicate? You know, I'd sort of found it really overwhelming, and there'd only been a few options, and suddenly there'd just been this explosion of the market. So I said to Wise Bartender, you know, really nice if you did this sort of, you know, little monthly pack. It would be a bit of self-care for people, it would be a surprise, it would enable them to sort of try things, and if they don't like it, but if they do, you know, they can then go and sort of take that one further. And he said, sounds like a great idea, why don't you do it? And I was like, oh, okay. So kind of huge amounts of imposter syndrome at that point. And then it was like, well, yeah, actually, why not? This would be a great thing for people to, you know, to enjoy or to sort of dabble with. And so that's kind of how that came across. And it's, you know, it's been so much fun doing it. And we're coming up.
So is that something that we can buy from Wise Bartender each month, or is it a subscription? How does it work?
So it's subscription, but you can cancel any time. So if you just wanted to do it 1 month and, you know, dip your toe in, you're not committed to a long period of time. Yeah. It's $12.99, including your postage. So it's, you know, it's kind of a no-brainer. And you get at least three, if not four, drinks or more, which are delicious and chosen by moi.
Yeah, so, okay, lovely. Maybe brilliant. We'll have to I'll have a chat with Tom. Maybe we'll do a little competition or something as well. That'd be good. Brilliant. I'll put the links in the show notes for that. That's fantastic. So just is there anything that you'd like to just finish up with, Emma, just like maybe a top tip for someone who is, you know, kind of early days? I know that this particularly is a difficult time if you've stopped drinking, or if you've, you know, you maybe are a few weeks in, a few days, a few weeks, possibly even a couple of months, you'll definitely be feeling the pressure of, oh my God, but Christmas is coming. You know, so do you have a top tip for anyone?
Life is so much easier when you haven't got a hangover.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Why did we used to do that to ourselves? For God's sake, why would we do that?
No idea. It's still the big unsolved question.
Yeah, like, it really is.
Why did it three decades? I think that's the thing, isn't it? People, the only regret they ever have when they quit drinking
is not doing it sooner. Dead right. Yeah, dead right. Gosh, you know, it really is my regret.
Yeah. Forward Christmas, rethink Christmas, you know, what are the things that you love? Go back to your childhood,
exactly.
The things you love when you were younger, and, you know, embrace your inner child and kind of eat all the because you'll be craving sugar in any case.
Exactly. So. And also, you know, my one of my top tips is always that you know, at Christmas time, it's the perfect excuse to get a bottle of alcohol-free red wine. Any will do. And have mulled wine. The second you add a orange and some cloves and some cinnamon and some spices, it's perfect. It's literally perfect. It's such a lovely, warming, cozy, alcohol-free drink. In fact, I've offered it at Christmas parties. The first year I stopped drinking, we had a party and I thought, well, I can't not have any alcohol because everyone's going to expect it. So I did have some alcohol there, and I had a pot of regular mulled wine, you know, cooking, as it were. And I got my husband to deal with that, and I made an alcohol-free one. Well, mine went completely, because why would you not? You know, and all of that lot was poured down the sink, I was pleased to see. So there really are ways you can just change it up and still feel like you've kind of satisfied that part of you that wants to do the Christmassy bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, all the lovely smells at Christmas as well, of like cinnamon and pine. You know, go for walks in nature and treat yourself to, like you say, a non-alcoholic mulled wine afterwards, or, you know, some sort of lovely chai latte, or, you know, get your taste buds sort of and, you know, sort of stimulated in different ways rather than just leaning into, oh, I've got to have my glass of, you know, whatever your poison is. And I am because, you know, that's firmly in my sort of mindset that alcohol was poisoning me. You know, what I will say is that at the beginning there was a real sort of sense within myself of, oh God, you know, why can't I drink like a normal drinker? Why can't I just have a couple? You know, why does it always turn out to be a disaster? And fast forward several years, the realization came, I am so grateful.
Exactly. We really are the lucky ones. Yeah, me too. Why would I want to have one drink? God's sake. Why would I want, you know, something so completely toxic? Yeah, it's great when your mindset shifts, isn't it? Brilliant. Emma, thank you so much. It's really good to chat to you. And I look forward to meeting up with you at something in the future. I'm sure we will catch up maybe when the Club Soda bar opens, in alcohol-free bar opens in London. I'm sure we'll meet up at something there. Take care. I really appreciate it. Thank you, Emma. We'll have that competition lined up for you very soon. Hope to see some of you at our Bossing a Sober Christmas online event. We are going to be hosting Constellations online in December as well. I'll get that date sorted soon. And a Constellations in person in January or early February. And I meant to add, by the way, I know it's very unlikely at this late stage, but there is one space become available on my next Sober Coach training. So if it's got your name on on it. I'm a really big believer that you will know. The energy will feel right. So if you're thinking of supporting others and you want to add another string to your bow, even if you haven't done coaching before, there's a possibility that it could still be right for you. So drop me a message, get in touch. You know where to find me on social media. At Janey Lee Grace, JaneyLeeGrace, or you can always contact me through thesoberclub.com. Of course, I'd love to encourage you to join us. It's a great time to join us. There's so much content there. And if you join us for one more weekend, you get an extra add-on gift, which is setting intentions with gratitude. It's a yoga nidra meditation. It's really nice. And that's on top of the other gifts that we already have as part of our Sober Club membership. You get a lot of bang for your buck, as the expression goes. So check it out, whether you're sober curious or whether you've been sober for absolutely years, because we focus on what's next. We focus on how we can live our best lives without the booze. So there's a huge amount of content around great nutrition, around well-being, around mindset, meditation, finding your purpose, creativity, everything. Name it, it's there. A little bit like my book, really, Happy, Healthy, Sober. I can never stick to just one thing. I really do think we have to look at the holistic picture. It's super important that we look at the whole person. So do check out thesoberclub.com. Do reach out if you're struggling at the moment. Don't do that thing of going within and hoping stuff might get better. Share what's going on for you. There's always, always, always help available. Check out Alcohol Change UK. Check out any of the services that may resonate with you, and absolutely tell someone that you're doing this. You can always message me. You know where to find me. And if you want to buy me a coffee, by the way, if you're not a member of the Sober Club, but you love the podcast and you'd like to support the work, it would be hugely appreciated. It is quite expensive doing this stuff. There's quite a lot of elements that have to be paid for. And I would just, it would be huge. I'd hugely appreciate it. You just go to buymeacoffee.com/Janey Lee Grace. Pretty sure that's how you find me. And of course, share the podcast and rate and review it. That would mean a lot. I will see you next time. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by The Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.